Trio, what a tremendous song here this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, it's been our practice here this summer here preaching through a series entitled Foolproof. And this morning we come to the subject of debt with a message entitled The Devil is in the Debt. I want to invite you back tonight in our Sunday evening services here for the rest of this month. I'm going to have some of the staff men preach for us, and tonight Brother Scott Cain is going to be bringing the message, and I'm looking forward to hearing that, and I trust you will as well here tonight. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 7, I'm going to let you remain seated. Notice the scripture says this, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." You know, one of the main themes of the book of Proverbs is, of course, money. And money is so important to every one of us. Some people are very good at handling money, and then there's the rest. Some are extremely able to get the most out of their money. You take, for instance, the story I heard told about a man who had a Rolls Royce. And he went to a downtown New York City bank one day, and he pulled up right in front of the bank, parked there for just a second, and walked in, and he said, "I want to see the loan officer." And the loan officer saw him. He said, "Listen, I want to take out a loan for just $5,000. And so the loan officer was a little bit perplexed. He said, "Just $5,000? He said, "Yeah, just $5,000. He said, "Well, you know, it's our custom. You know, we've got to ask this question, but what do you have to offer for collateral?" And the man said, "Well, would this do?" And he showed him the keys to his Rolls Royce. "If I left my Rolls Royce with you, would that be collateral enough?" And he said, "Well, sure." And so the bank vice president took the keys, and They took the Rolls Royce, and the man walked out with $5,000, only to come back 2 weeks later. 2 weeks later, he came in, and he said, "I want to get my Rolls Royce back. I'm ready to settle my debt." And they said, "Fine." And so they looked it up. And the loan officer said, "That will be $5,000 in principal and $15.40 in interest." And the man wrote out a check, and at that point there, the bank officer said, "Listen, I've got to confess something to you." He said, "I did some snooping, some checking, and I found out that you are a millionaire. You are very, very wealthy. I have to ask you the question, why in the world did you take out this loan?" And that is when the man with the Rolls Royce, getting his keys back, said, "You got to understand, I went to Europe for 2 weeks, and where else can I park my Rolls Royce for 2 weeks in Manhattan for just $15.40. You know, some people are just that way. They're shrewd. That they know how to get a deal. That they know how to get a deal on top of a deal. You know, the Jews have been historically known for doing well financially. They are even today the wealthiest religious group in America. Forbes' list of 400 richest Americans included nearly 100 Jewish names on that list that were billionaires. Another publication, the Times of Israel, published a report that claimed that 5 out of the 10 wealthiest individuals in America were Jewish. Now, some will look at that, and they will look at that with jealousy. And they will say, "Wait a second, you know, they probably," and that's what anti-Semitism does. Anti-Semitism will take that statistic and say they must be doing something wrong. However, maybe they have been doing something right. And that's why I want us to take our Bibles and I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Because I want to speak to you about finances. We're going to get to debt. But in Proverbs chapter 3, we read some verses. The wisdom advice of Solomon brings us to this. In Proverbs 3 and verse number 9, notice, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Now, somebody might be jumping the gun, and you might be saying, "Aha, that must mean, Pastor, you're getting at that if I tithe, I'm going to become rich." Now, that, by the way, might be the message of a prosperity gospel preacher, a man like Creflo Dollar or T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen, you know, some of these preachers that, you know, preach prosperity. And it's always interesting to me, by the way, that they never vow poverty for themselves when they do it, that they become rich. No, I'm not saying that here this morning, but I will tell you that that is actually an important principal verse, Proverbs 3, verse number 9. Now, in addition, I can tell you there's actually three others that I am not going to have you turn to, but some of the other verses that make up my financial philosophy, one of them is found in Psalm 37, 25, where David said, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Here's another one. The words, this is found in Proverbs 30, the words of Agur in Proverbs 30, verse 7, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord, or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. That's interesting what Agur said. He said, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be poor. I just want the food convenient for me. I just want just what I need. Okay, another verse, my fourth one, is found in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. And this one here really sums it up. Because Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If I had to summarize my financial philosophy, it would be those words, godliness with contentment. You cannot have godliness, by the way, without recognizing God. And godliness begins, as Paul or as Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 3, with honoring the Lord with thy substance, with all the first fruit. It's honoring God with everything. And now, I want to mention to you that I get asked a question, and I'll ask the question for us here this morning. The question is this: is debt a sin? Is it a sin? Is it a sin to take out a loan? And by the way, I would also add, if you are going to say it's a sin to take out a loan, that would also mean that it must also be sinful for somebody to loan, right? Because both would happen to fall under a similar camp. Is it wrong to be in the debt business one way or another? Is it wrong? I will also tell you the answer to that question is actually caused by answering another question. And here's the real rub. The question I want to ask you is this: are you living contented? Are you content? Are you living a contented life? Because if you're not, I can tell you it doesn't matter. If you're not living contented, of course, debt is going to become sinful for you. If you're living contented, contentment, what does that verse say? Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you're not content, I'll just say it flat out, you're not right with God. You are not right with God. It doesn't matter. You know, oftentimes debt, by the way, it only is a revealer of the heart. It's revealing what is in your heart. What do you want? What is, you know, your eye on? What is the materialism in your heart say? The Bible never phrases and says that debt in and of itself, and I'm going to show you this here in a second, debt in and of itself is not sinful, but the heart of discontentment is. That is why the book of Proverbs, the wisdom book, tells us three things about debt. Let me share with you. First of all, debt is obligating. It is always an obligation. If you owe someone money or property, you have to then submit to them. You have to be a servant to them. You entered into an obligation, and whatever the terms were, now whether it was to pay it off in a day or a year or 30 years or more, you have entered into an obligation. You have therefore become a servant to the one that you have borrowed from. Isn't that what that verse said? Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is what? Servant to the lender. Now, there's no better illustration about this principle than the Old Testament hero, the man Joseph. And Joseph, how he ruled the people became obligated to him. But notice that the story of Joseph here is that Joseph has now been elevated. He's now second in command. He's here for such a time because there's some really good years followed by some really bad years. And it's during those seven good years that Joseph saves. So that when the very bad years come, Joseph is in a position to be of help. And he's in a position here of prosperity. By the way, it's interesting, when the people all of a sudden experienced the famine, Joseph didn't give away food. He sold it. And he said, what do you have? They said, well, we got money. So he said, all right, I will sell it to you for money. When their money ran out, he said, all right, you need some more food. Now what do you have? They no longer had money. They said, well, we'll give you our cattle. And so he bought up all the cattle. When their cattle ran out, after the money ran out, they still were hungry and the famine is still going on. Remember, it's going to be for 7 long years. That they came back to Joseph and he said, all right, I'm not going to give this to you. Again, we live in a society that is totally backwards. He said, I'm not going to give it to you, but he said, I will sell to you. What do you have now to trade, to barter? They said, well, we got our land. That's getting really desperate. Now they sold their homes, their land. And by the way, when they did that, you'll find out that they no longer had the freedom to live where they wanted to live. Joseph literally put them in places and he moved them to cities and built the cities and cities where they were now forced to live. And so now he owned their land. But now they came back to him one more time. They said, listen, we still are hungry. The famine is still going on. He said, what do you have left? They said, the only thing we have left is us. And so they sold themselves and they became slaves. They became servants. Now, it's interesting at that point there. Fortunately for them, Joseph was a picture of Jesus Christ. Joseph was a benevolent ruler. He was a kind, charitable. He was a loving. He was a good man. And Joseph, when now they came back and they said, listen, we're still hungry. The famine is still going. And they've sold everything. They've now even sold themselves as slaves. He said, listen, I want you to have some food. And so he gave them seed. And he said, listen, all I'm going to ask, and you get this from the text, all I'm going to ask is you can keep 80%. You just simply give 20% back to Pharaoh. That's, by the way, the steepest tax that Joseph ever raised up to, just 20%. Now, here's the point. Was it wrong for Joseph to loan them some seed or some food, some bread? No. He was saving their life. Was it wrong for them to borrow? No. They were desperate. There are desperate times when you might have to take out a loan. There might be some desperate times that you might have to enter into a debt. But indebtedness is an obligation. It is not something to be taken lightly. Most debt today is frivolous. Most of it is unnecessary. You don't enter into a loan just simply because, well, I'm tired of the car I have. I want a new car. Or I'm tired of the clothes I've got. I want some new clothes. Or I'm tired of, you know, I want the new golf clubs, or I want the new boat, or I want the collection of guns. And here's some statistics, by the way. From the year 2020 just concluded, the average U.S. household carries an average credit card debt of $6,271. Add to that an average car loan debt of $17,553. In addition, 1 in 4 Americans now have student loan debt. On average, $37,172. These are the statistics most recently brought forth by our government. And by the way, you realize oftentimes with that student loan debt, it can take the rest of your life, sometimes 25, some cases years, in order for you to work. You're going to be almost to the end of maybe even working, almost to retirement by the time you get that paid off. Now, many student loan debt, you're going to be paying $300, $400 a month. In addition, there's a good portion of our society, 44%, that have mortgage debt. Not a bad debt, but mortgage debt, on average, the average person owes $215,655, probably more here in Minnesota. The average payment, just under $1,500 a month. A Pew Research study shows that following COVID-19, only 25% of Americans have saved enough to cover 6 months of expenses. Listen, if COVID-19 should teach us something for the future, it's that we could have something that could really disrupt our society. You say, well, that was COVID-19, and whenever that's done, it'll never happen again. Really. Never, never. So, sort of like, you know, the people that just simply, they say, well, you know, I know there was that flood 100 years ago, but they'll never have another 100-year flood. It's not wise. I'm simply pointing out, another study says that 8% of Americans are in what they call the critical stage regarding debt. And if I can even add, our own national debt, to our shame, did you realize that we now have a larger national debt than our GDP? Last year, our national debt has now risen to $28 trillion. Our GDP was only 21. We have now spent, basically in debt, more than we in 1 year are taking in. Now, the point is this, debt is an obligation. It's not something to be taken lightly. In addition, the Bible teaches that that obligation must be paid. Turn to Proverbs 22 again, and notice another verse in this wonderful chapter. Many verses I could take from the book of Proverbs. This is a main theme of the book. But notice Proverbs 22 and verse number 26 and verse number 27. Notice, Solomon says, "Be not thou one of them that strike hands." Strike hands, that'd be like shaking hands, making an agreement. Now, however you do it, with just simply a signature, in old days they shook hands. "Be not one of them that strike hands," or quickly enters into an agreement, "or of them that are sureties for debts," guarantors for somebody else's indebtedness. Verse number 27, "If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee?" In other words, it's a risk. A wise person always asks this question, what if? What if I can't work? Well, what if I can't work it out? Well, what if I can't renegotiate that high interest debt? What about my testimony? What about the testimony of the church? Is all debt wrong? No. But I will tell you this, risky debt always is. It's always wrong. You know, it's easy, and I will tell you the other thing, that just simply anecdotally, it is easier to borrow than it is to pay. How many of you have gotten more than one offer for a credit card this year? It's like weekly junk mail. They're coming in so many times, and you know, I can't even remember, but there was one guy that literally, he set the Guinness Book of World Records, and he applied to everything. He acquired the most debt of anybody. I can't even remember what it was. It was ridiculous. But listen, they put those things out there with the intent of trying to get people in debt. That's their business. Now, if you can, God's method is earn first, then buy. Again, operating with the biblical philosophy, godliness with contentment. Before buying anything, you need to answer this question: do I need this? And another question, do I need it now or can it wait? If it can wait, then let it wait. Pay cash for it if you can, or have saved up so you can write a check or put it on the card, but you already got it, of course, in the bank here to pay off. Now, I'm simply saying we need to be careful about this. Let me give you a little credit card quiz. Let me show you a picture of a man. I'm going to just make this guy up. His name is Tom. He's 30 years of age, and he has, now, again, you're going to say this is so little, but he has a credit card debt, a balance on his credit card of just $3,500. So now just imagine that, $3,500, that's not much. Now, suppose that Tom, 30 years of age, he pays the minimum payment every month. So whatever they say is the minimum, he pays that. Now, by the way, he is paying 18.9% interest. How old will Tom be if he pays the minimum before that debt is paid off? He's 30 now. You're looking at a man that by the time he pays it off with the minimum will be 60. And he will have paid four times the debt. In other words, he's paying a creditor. He's paying somebody else. Now, does that seem wise? Would it have been better? $3,500 is not that much. Wouldn't it have been better to be a little bit more frugal, a little bit more content, and not gotten into such heavy debt? Now, by the way, you say, well, preacher, you know, listen, it's just set up that this is the way everybody is. And after all, if something goes wrong, I can just file for bankruptcy. Well, let's talk about that. Just because it is legal doesn't mean a Christian should do it. Just because, you know, it's legal, you can smoke marijuana too. Should you do it? You know, you can buy liquor. Should you go out and get drunk? You know, there's some things that might be legal to do. Doesn't mean that you've got a higher standard. You should. Now, I would even point to you in this, and I'm not saying, I'm not your judge, and I'm not saying if anybody here, you filed for bankruptcy, I'm not saying that you, I'm not your judge, you aren't going to have to answer to me, but you will have to, and I will have to answer to God. But let me ask you a question. If you get to that point where you think, I've got to file for bankruptcy, is there no other choice? Isn't there something else you can do? And in addition, here's something else to answer. Have you taken steps to change your behavior so you don't have to do this again? Because you know what happens. People who file for bankruptcy, there's a high percentage of those that file for bankruptcy, within a year or two, they're in the same boat they were before filing bankruptcy. How does that happen? Again, they're not living contented. They're not living a contented life. Now, by the way, can you pay it back? Let me give you a Christian example. Now, I don't know if you've heard, I know you've heard of this man's product, Heinz Ketchup. Of course, the founder was a Christian, Henry Heinz. Henry Heinz grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His family, at a very young age, his family basically made him an entrepreneur when he was out in the garden, and they said, why don't you go sell some of that, like at a farmer's market? He actually started a business as a young man. It wasn't the business you think of. It was actually selling horseradish. And that business was good, except 6 years later, there was a national collapse, and his business went under. He filed bankruptcy. However, he was a Christian. And there was something that just simply said, you know, I'm under obligation to pay. And even though the law said he didn't have to, Henry Heinz determined, I don't care how long it's going to take. It might take me a long time, but I'm going to pay back every one of my debts. And he did. He then had a second business, one that was very prosperous. Again, you know, the ketchup business. Now, the question is this: how important is your name? How important is your Savior's name? Again, everything that we do, we need to make sure that we are a good testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many other verses in Proverbs, but let me share you a verse very common in the New Testament, Romans 13, verse 8. Paul says this, owe no man anything. Now, by the way, if you just simply stop there in that verse, you wouldn't get a sense of what Paul is getting at. It's not so much just finances, but he says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. But what is he saying? Is he saying there that you should never have a debt? He's saying there, actually, there's one debt you can never pay back. It's the debt of love. That you should never, ever think that you have loved enough, that I paid that off. I don't have to love another time. He says, owe no man anything except for this one debt here. He says that ye love one another. The debt is to love one another. Now, let me say number three, that we are to be stewards of our money and all of our possessions. Remember I said that there's several verses that really speak to me about finances. One of which, again, I shared with you, Proverbs 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Let me share with you another verse from Psalms. Psalm 24 and verse number 1 says this, the earth is the Lord's. Okay, can you say that with me? The earth is the Lord's. It's not yours. It's not mine. We are stewards. Name for me anything that you have that God did not create. Name for me anything that does not ultimately belong to Him. Listen, He claims the earth. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Now, by the way, it's interesting, the Jews, you might say, well, listen, I'm, you know, doing pretty good because I'm tithing. Did you know in the Old Testament, actually, if you calculated it up, they tithed multiple ways and multiple times, and they gave gifts so many times. The average Jew in biblical times gave 23.7% of their income to God. 23.7%. Now, I would venture to say most of us don't do that, but I'm simply saying that they had a philosophy, and that is God put, and by the way, it was very prominent with them because God gave them the land and the promised land. He brought them into the land. This land belongs to God. It's God's promised land. You know, John Wesley, I think, had it right when that circuit-riding preacher, the father of Methodism, the preacher, said this. His 3 points on money were these: earn all you can, save all you can, so you can give all you can. It's not supposed to just get stuck with you. It's not supposed to. That is stewardship in a nutshell. By the way, some have practiced this in amazing ways. For instance, have you ever heard of the name of R.G. Letourneau? Many today might not know Letourneau. There used to be, of course, well-known colleges down south. But R.G. Letourneau was a Christian businessman who in the latter century, he made a living by creating the earth-moving equipment. If you ever see the road graders, all of the big equipment, big tires, that was R.G. Letourneau. He made a living with that. Now, R.G. Letourneau, a Christian businessman, he practiced the 90-10 principle. Now, you say, I know what that is. He tithed. No. Just the opposite. He gave 90% and lived off of 10. Now, by the way, you could probably more easily do that when you are a millionaire, when you are making so much money. I understand that. The point is this, that he was challenged that it didn't need to stay. The Bible says this in Psalm 112, verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Loans or banks are not evil in and of themselves. In fact, sometimes you might even find yourself needing to acquire a debt. Recently, Valerie and I, we were found in that position. When, because of the diagnosis, because of the cancer, we are on a health-sharing plan. Health-sharing plan that takes months before we get reimbursed. So what I proposed to Valerie, and she agreed, and we went and we took out a home equity line of credit. One, so that we can pay the bills so they're not going to be months behind, and then we will pay the interest on that home equity line of credit, and we will pay that off. And we've already started. In fact, I'm just so excited, you know, to be able to pay off that debt. But we incurred that debt. Why? Because we wanted to have a good testimony. It was more important to us that we have a testimony that would say we pay our bills rather than being the ones that they're always calling, especially with all of these medical bills. And just if you have gone through anything major, you understand that. But I'm simply saying that it is not born out of discontentment. That's where most of our debt comes from. By the way, let me just leave you with a fictitious man, a man that was very famous in a cartoon of yesterday. A man, you might remember him, his name was Wimpy. And he was from the cartoon Popeye the Sailor Man. Now, I don't know if you remember Wimpy, but Wimpy was actually a very smart man, very intelligent. He was also very lazy. And here's another sin. He was a glutton. What was his vice? Hamburgers. Do you remember what Wimpy used to always say? He used to always, whether it be Popeye, whether it be anybody down the street, he would say these words. He said, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Did Wimpy ever pay them back? No. He was also very dishonest. I wonder if too many people have the wimpy attitude, the wimpy philosophy. I'll gladly pay, and again, for something that he's going to just simply devour and eat, and is going to be just simply gone food today. Folks, we are in trouble if we think that we can violate God's standards. We are in trouble as a nation. And again, I don't care. I had somebody recently say, well, you know, it hasn't caught up to us yet. The problem is that last word, yet. You know, like R.G. Lee used to say, it's going to be payday someday. Eventually here you run out of money or you run out of other people's money. That's why, folks, we need to be right when it comes to this matter of money. Now, by the way, you might say, well, preacher, you know, everything you said there, I agree, and I'm already in trouble. I'm already in debt. But what can I do? I will tell you this. It's going to be one of the emphasis here coming up. The month of October, we are going to offer on Wednesday night, our breakout groups are going to be redoing some of the Dave Ramsey course. And we want to use that course, if you know, very effective financial stewardship course, but we want to try and offer that on Wednesday nights to encourage, to instruct, to even give some fellowship with others that are working to get out of debt or stay out of debt, unnecessary debt. Again, debt is not sinful in and of itself, but discontentment is. So I ask the question again, are you living contented? Because if not, it doesn't matter. You are going to be in trouble with your money. You're going to be in trouble with your resources. I want to just share with you some principles this morning. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed.